Sunday school.
I don't know.
I started in the wrong place. What happened?
That's what happens.
Mom? All right, if you have a Bible, get my microphone here so people on line don't complain, they can't hear. We are in Romans 13. Boy, another 6 months or so, we'll be probably done with the Romans.
6 months, really?
That's weird. Well, good morning.
A few notes here. Wow. This is, I believe I've got it numbered right. This is 119 studies now in Romans. Now, there are many, many other preachers who have already gone through Romans and done more than that. So we're not setting a record. But that's the book of Romans. If you've read it, you know what's in it, then you know we're not going to skip anything. We're going line upon line, verse by verse, the way the Bible was written and intended to be studied and read. We have the folder, the pamphlet for reading through the Bible. You can start any time of the year, look at the date, and then when you get to this day next year, you'll finish. Onliners can get those at bbfohio.com, resources, and downloads. And we have a bunch of people online who are reading along with us. Mm-hmm. Makes for good conversation whenever you connect on some place like MeWe with these onliners. All right, we did cover verse 1 with Brother John last week. And so we'll ask John, if you would, open the Bible study prayer.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I'm just coming to your presence again from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and that precious blood that cleanses from all sin. And we thank you, Lord, that you're with us today. We pray, Lord, open up our hearts. Let us not have a hard heart, Lord, but let us have a soft heart and an obedient heart to your word. Open up our understanding that we can continue to run the race until you take us home. Again, we ask your mercy upon us. Remember our friend Jabud Dostin. Even according to John 15, without you, we can do absolutely nothing. Help us to look to you for all things and for a great understanding of your word this morning. In Christ's name we pray for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Right on cue, Brother Doug.
Amen.
Hey, Doug.
Good to be here.
Snow brought in.
Good to be here. Lucky to be alive.
Lucky to be alive.
In Columbus, yes.
That's right. That's right. You got that right.
There's stuff on your pew.
Oh, thank you.
So,
watch for it.
We left off with verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God.
Amen.
And John covered that, but that's our context. And it's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people, especially if you're under a communist regime, which we are under a wannabe communist regime. And it's pretty concerning if you see on the news, Washington, D.C. is under martial law. And they're not calling it that, but that's what it is by definition. And the Orwellian newspeak and Orwellian censorship and control, mind control they're trying to inflict is getting way out of hand. But folks, they've been doing this in our education system and on television for decades. Yep. Been trying to force Americans to give up biblical morality, biblical belief. You're a nut if you believe that God created everything in 6 days. You're a nut if you believe that there's any sense of absolute morality. You're a nut if you don't believe in sodomite or gay marriage. You know, that's, you're the nut now.
And loving it.
And loving it.
Amen.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes.
And but when it comes to government inflicting this directly, what is what we're now seeing, and that's a whole new level. That's you got to ask. Well, it says, "For there is no power but of God." Well, we as Christians have to understand, why would God allow that to happen? Well, the Chinese Christians have been asking this for decades now, 70 years or so. Russians since the Bolshevik Revolution have been asking, you know, why did God allow that to happen? He's allowed it to happen. We don't have a right to say, tell me why you're doing this. We don't really have that right. But God in his love, grace, mercy, and just overwhelming undeserved respect for us does tell us basically that he gives people what they deserve. You remember when Abraham was promised the land, right? And then Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph was in Egypt and saved his brothers and all that. And then it was prophesied that their people, the Jewish people, would stay in Egypt for 400 years. You remember why? You remember why that is? Why he said 400 years? Because the wickedness of the Amorites was not yet full. See, God was going to give them what they deserve, for lack of a better term. God deals justly with us. Now, how many of you think that after killing millions of babies and having sodomite parades through the streets and gay marriages in Christian churches supposedly even having these ceremonies and everything, how many of you think that we shouldn't already be wiped out?
Amen.
I don't think that, you know, we should even be here. So the fact that he's allowing America to get what they deserve with a communistic, it's capitalist communism. It's a contradiction in terms, but it's the model that is in China right now. It's not the Stalinist model, it's the Maoist model. It's not the Maoist model either. It's the Chinese model that has progressed basically since Nixon. If you go back to Nixon when he opened up trade with China. Ever since then, they've been molding this thing where they love the capitalistic profits, but they don't want to lose control, so the government controls it. And it's not socialism in the truest sense of the word, because socialism, they actually take everything. The government controls everything, owns everything, takes over the oil fields and takes over everything. That's not how the Chinese model is. They're allowing people to own those things, but they have to fall in line with all the rules. And that is a religious cult in China. It's an atheist religious cult. And that's what's happening in America. This is very, if you take off the political labels and just look at what's happening under this new administration, but what's happening under the powers, not just the Democrats, the progressive Republicans, they are all in this globalist corporate communist mindset.
Yeah.
And so we look and say, well, why is God letting that happen? And to me, there's no question as to why God would allow it to happen. And I say that because I get emails from people. Where people say, why is God allowing this? Like, you know, like, what's wrong with him? You know? You know, you ought to be thankful that we're not already in camps the way our countries. But also, have you, I don't say this, but I want to look at it and say, have you read the Bible? Because I see everything shaping up with this end time prophecy. There's going to be a man of sin who's going to rise up and he's going to take over world government. And it's going to be this capitalist communist setup where you can buy, sell, and trade. Oh, sure. If you take the mark and bow.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. So when you see that, that's what's being set up in America. And eventually it'll all be handed over to a global government. Right now, nations are set up like that. So when it says, for there is no power but of God. First of all, a lot of people don't even know what does it even mean, a power? There is no power but of God. Look what it says there, the powers that be are ordained of God. And then the question is, what are the powers? Well, God established in this country that we would elect our leaders. So who are you going to blame? Now, I believe there's election fraud, and not everybody who is elected, you have to put that in quotes, because they're put in place, not by the voters, but by cheating. And I won't go through all this, but just the mail-in votes, they mailed all these votes out to people, and then their relatives would fill it out for them and sign it and send it in. So it's like, and this was largely Democrat areas where they did it. They made sure that they sent all these mail-in ballots out to places where it was overwhelmingly Democrat. Then the Republicans, I don't care anybody thinks, I know this to be a fact, they're more honest. The rank and file Republican voter is more honest than the Democrat. And so the Democrats would go over to Grandma's house, who's sitting there in a wheelchair drooling, and fill out her ballot and sign it and send it in because they had no signature verification. Then they threw out the ones who came in voting for the wrong person, as far as most of the time Republican. And they had no chain of custody of the ballots. Mm-hmm. So there's no way of proving it, and then they destroyed them, shredded them. And we know that is a fact. That's just one huge way that they were able to get people in office without them actually being elected. But why does that fraud happen? Why is that even happening? Because the mass of Americans themselves are dishonest.
Yep.
And so God is giving America what they deserve. America doesn't like what's happening right now. The masses, generally speaking, just look in the mirror. And then there are some Christians who try to deny this and try to act like Romans 13 isn't in the Bible.
Yeah.
And you know what they're doing? They're denying what God did. God, it says, ordained the powers. So if you deny that, you're denying the work of God. And you're denying what he says, because he says right here that that's what's going on.
Amen.
So with that foundation, read verse 2 with me. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now line upon line, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. That's kind of what I was just saying, but it's more than just denying it mentally, spiritually, verbally. This is talking about resisting it in a more physical sense. And I just have to say this, that what happened on January 6th with that so-called insurrection and what they did at the Capitol building, they're finding more and more evidence that it was pre-planned. They did get some Trump supporters to take part, but it was orchestrated by Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, just like I always said, you take 70 million people, 75, however many voted for Donald Trump, and however many, they say there was more than a million people there. I hear different figures. When you get a crowd that size, you're going to have some people that aren't all, you know. And so these guys went and they found the people they thought would be willing to work with them, and these Antifa people did this stuff. And so those people who did that in the Capitol building deserve to be arrested and charged. And the problem I have is with them claiming it was Trump supporters, because we know it wasn't. It was Antifa. And but that's an example. Jesus told Peter, you remember when he was being arrested and Peter took the sword? There wasn't anything wrong with Peter having a sword. He was obeying Jesus. Right before that happened, Jesus commanded his disciples and apostles to buy a sword. So what was wrong with it? He was using it wrong. He was using it as an offensive weapon. Because at the moment, there was no violence. They were arresting Jesus. But they weren't stabbing and, you know, fighting. But they had a warrant for his arrest. And now we've got people in our church family and our personal family among friends that can still carry. I hope everyone understands that if the police show up to legally, with a warrant, arrest me or anyone else, and they don't start shooting people, they just come and they say, you're under arrest. We have a warrant for your arrest. There's no reason to become violent.
Right.
You go with them. You go into the court and you settle it in front of a judge. That's what God set up.
Amen.
So if they come to arrest you and they don't use violence and they're not breaking the law themselves, because the police and everyone, they are subject to the powers too. And so, you know, if a cop ever tries to abuse you, you can resist. I mean, there's women who have actually been violated by cops. They pull them over and pull them in the back of the car. Well, you can fight. There's nothing wrong with it. But under normal circumstances, don't resist. If you do resist, you're resisting the ordinance of God. God has set it up in this country. You're arrested. You're taken in. You go to court. I was arrested, can't remember what year it was, before my BJ years, before Jenny. I had been falsely accused of something. But when you're accused and you don't know it, you can't do anything about it, and they get a warrant. You pull up in front of Grater's Ice Cream to give the kiddies a little ice cream cone, and a cop pulls in behind you because you got a light out, and he runs your license and sees you've got a warrant, then he arrests you in front of your children. It was like something out of a bad movie. And it all worked out because, you know, I went with them. I didn't fight them. I called a friend. They came and got the kids, and I went to the court, and I signed off. I had to show up a week or two later, and they said, go home. It's thrown out. It was no basis to it. But somebody wanted to give me trouble. They caused me some trouble.
Uh-huh.
That's basically, I'm trying not to name names. There's no reason to get personal about it.
Right.
But, you know, I knew. Of course, my dad was a patrolman for a little while, and I always heard these things from not only at church, but at home. You know, you see these kids. And young men, even, you know, and they're being shot and killed, and everybody wants to cry and carry on. Wait a minute. If they're resisting arrest and they're attacking the cops, especially if they're pulling weapons, and especially if it's a gun, I'm sorry, but your little baby deserved to be shot. If it was one of mine and they were resisting arrest, I would have to go with God's word here. I'd say, you know, it's a tragic thing, and we're very sad.
Amen.
And we don't like the fact this happened, but I want you to know that especially when there's these videos and everything, you got that Blake guy who's now admitting he had a knife in his hand when they shot him. And, well, he deserved it. And Mama Blake running around condemning or acting like it is the wrong thing for those police officers to do is wrong. If you resist, you resist not only the ordinance of God, but look what it says. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, that doesn't mean you lose your salvation. There's some people, we've talked about this before. You get used to seeing and using a word a particular way. But the word saved and saved, that doesn't always talk about saving your eternal soul. There are times where it's talking about saving you from, like Peter in Acts 2, when he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. He's not talking about their soul. He's saying this generation killed their Messiah, and God's going to rain down his wrath. But you can be saved from that generation if you will repent of having killed your Messiah. See? And that's why we know Acts 2:38 isn't the gospel. Which tells you to be baptized for the remission of sin and all that. That was to a nation that had just killed their Messiah, who was about to have God's wrath poured out on them. They were saved by faith in the gospel, and they were saved from the wrath of God by repenting. And when a Jew gets baptized in the name of Jesus, or we, as we do, name the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but it's done in the name of Jesus, you're being baptized because you are a believer in Jesus Christ. They're disowned. They're like, their family says, you're dead to me. Well, that started there in Acts 2. Because they were basically saving themselves from that generation that had killed their Messiah. Yeah, Doug?
I had a quick question about that gun thing. There's that law out that H.R. 127. And they come to your door, knock on your door and say, hey, I want your pistol, your rifle, your whatever, and what do you do. I mean, it's the idea that you're right there. In
I haven't read that. I know they rescinded the stand, the requirement to stand your ground, or I mean to retreat.
Yeah.
And you can now stand your ground in Ohio.
Anyway.
I'll have to look into that, Doug, but yeah, I can't imagine. If that's a state, is that a state, or are you talking about federal?
I'm not 100% sure, but they got that
all
out.
I got to warn you.
It's kind of grave.
I got to warn you, you're going to see all kinds of crazy stuff in the House of Representatives, especially because the Democrats are in control. But it will not, most of the time, it's not going to pass through the Senate.
That.
So that's what you have to keep an eye on. But
it's federal.
In such a case, if they came to your door and they weren't using violence and they're saying we have this, then you would want to go along with that and fight it in court if it came to that.
No.
But the thing is most people, I mean, we ought to be aware of what's going on and we ought to fight that law before it's passed.
Exactly.
And then wise as serpents and harmless as doves, you know, if they pass that kind of a law, then we're just going to have to make sure they don't know we have those guns.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
But, if the Senate was about 55 to 45 Democrat, we would be in really big trouble. But right now it's 50-50, or it's close enough, it's 50-49. 51 or something like that.
No.
I think it's 51-49. But they...
No, it's 50-50.
Oh, I thought they won Georgia.
No.
Okay, it's 50-50.
And then
but the tiebreaker is Kamala.
Right.
But they have several conservative Democrats who won't go along with a lot of the radical stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what
will
save us from some of it anyway.
Yeah.
Manchin, for example, Joe Manchin down in... West Virginia, he won't vote for most of the gun control stuff.
Amen.
And so they lose one right there.
Thank you.
And that's an example. Now, if we're in China, we're not having this conversation. If we're in Venezuela, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, we're not having this conversation.
Yeah.
But we're in a situation where we can have this conversation. And things may really change, but at this point, we have the ordinance of God is our constitutional republic system that we have, constitutional republican system. And then it says, verse 2, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. I just want to go over that real quick. This is from an 1859 dictionary of the Bible by the American Tract Society. It says, at the time when the Bible was translated, it signified the same as condemnation. The words damn and damnation ought therefore be still so understood in such passages as the one we're reading. It's true about several words in the Bible. There's not many, but there are some, like let. If I, we let Matthew take the shovel and do some shoveling. Wasn't that nice of us?
Yeah, that's so nice of you.
But 200 or 300 years ago, that would have meant we hindered him from doing it.
Right.
See? Now, what do? It's not that difficult. You just make a note of it. And when you read the word let, you understand that in the context in the King James Bible, it means to prevent. Yes, you?
The word nice used to mean a whole lot different than it is now. I think it meant mean.
Really?
Yes.
Well, in my generation, I don't know if the young'uns still do this, but when they're like, ooh, man, that is so bad, that means you like it.
Right.
Yeah, Johnny?
I think there's a recent movie, I think, that we saw that where they did use that word. They seem to be using that word, nice,
nice,
as the opposite. I think it was the first Batman movie. They have a part where the...
Fat Man?
No, Batman.
Oh, that's like what...
He says, let's get nice.
I bet there's a movie called Batman out there. Look it up.
Trying to instigate a fight.
We've
all heard it. So that's interesting.
I bet if you watch Sherlock Holmes, you'd come up with some of these terms that we watch some of these really old Sherlock Holmes, and sometimes the words throw you. So let's look at a couple verses. We have Jenny If you look up Romans, just turn over to Romans 14:23. And Linda, if you look up 1 Corinthians 11:29. By the way, there's other references you can look up. Schofield says that, you know, damnation in the sense of judgment by the magistrate is that word legally, that I guess in legal documents even, you'll find that word used in that sense. Of course, the government cannot damn your soul. So when the government condemns you and calls it damnation, obviously it's talking about in that sense. Linda, if you're there, go ahead and read your text there.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:29.
Yeah.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
Now, that, obviously, it's not talking about going to hell. That's talking about somebody who is saved in the local church, but taking part in the Lord's Supper and communion, and unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body. And that's one of the reasons why we're not one of those churches that does communion every week. And because of COVID concerns and other issues, we just haven't done it for a little while. Because I'm just going to tell you, as your pastor, there's some current concerns I have. And so I haven't been able to talk to everybody. And leave it at that. We don't want to provide a stumbling block for anybody either. And so we had communion not too long ago, and it worked out fine. But it really bothers me when I've been in services and I'm giving communion, and I'm not judging anybody. I know the people, and they've even told me that they are totally out of God's will and not living for the Lord. And so I can only hope that at that moment, before they partake, they're making themselves, preparing themselves by confessing their sins and making things right with the Lord. And we try to always do that beforehand. And then the question is, well, are they sincere, or are they just doing it because they're getting ready to take communion? See, those things are out of my hand. I can only do the best I can as a pastor not to cause such a thing.
Right.
And, if you do that and you're saved, but you're struggling and going through something like that, doesn't mean you lose your salvation. So the damnation, what is it? Well, one of the things is your own conscience will condemn you. If you're God's child, and he will convict you, his Holy Spirit will convict you. But also, others who know you will, in their minds and hearts, know that you are condemning yourself by your lifestyle, the way you're living. You're not doing, you know, you're not living right, and here you're taking communion. Now, you see somebody do that, and then they go out, and it looks like everything's changed. Praise the Lord. But if they take communion, then they go back out, and they're back at it before they even get out of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. And so, read yours, Jenny, Romans 14:23.
And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
See, now every time you do something, when it says not of faith, what's that mean? Well, it's not just, I believe. It's the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're not doing things in accordance with God's word, then you're not doing it by faith. And if you're just doing something because, it feels right, that's bad most of the time, because your feelings don't have anything to do with God's word.
Right.
And folks, there are people who have left their spouses. And sometimes it's because their spouse may not be a Christian, or their spouse may not be a good Bible believer, or not serious about the Lord. And they will justify it in their own mind, leave, and then get with somebody who seems to be a really serious Christian. And I know that sounds like a contradiction, but I've seen it several times in 30 years as a Christian. And I've known of it even before I was saved. I knew of it happening, and I've heard other preachers tell the stories. How does that happen? Because they can be as sincere and vocal and always demonstrating their faith all they want, but if it's not the word of God, it's not a faith. How do you know God's will? I just believe God was in it. and my marriage was just so terrible, and now I'm with this person who loves the Lord, and I just feel God was in it. That's the things you hear.
Yeah, no.
And I'm not going to use the same example again, but I've told this story that, you know, where more than once, someone has come to me and basically said they didn't have biblical grounds to leave their spouse, but they're leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something feels better to them.
Uh-huh.
I said, you're not right. That's wrong. It's against God's word, and God won't bless it. And so what happens? They're under damnation. Does it mean they lose their salvation? No, but it means just like David with Bathsheba and all the bad that happened as a result of that. And so these people leave their spouse without biblical basis, and they feel. That's always you hear. Yeah, John?
I heard the story of the of guy, you know, running around with the, I guess, the ghetto or whatever, and decided to leave his wife. And he was confronted, and he was told, you know, what are you doing is sin. And he said, that's okay. He says, I'll just use 1 John 1:9.
Use.
Uh-huh.
Right.
What's that saying?
Yeah. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just.
Right. A lot of us.
Yeah. But that's a very wrong idea of confession.
Yeah.
It's not just verbally saying, I sin. It's a confession from the heart that you know it was sin and you're sorry. There's a sorrow there. And a godly sorrow.
Yeah.
As Paul wrote in his 2 Corinthians. And it's just so common sense, but when someone is not right with God and they want to justify their sin, you can't talk sense to them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way it is. And I've dealt with some very close people in my life who justified themselves, and you can hold the Bible out and show them line on line and say, I've even handed the Bible to on a couple of occasions and said, read that, and they won't.
Yep.
I've had conversations where we're sitting at a table and I'll hand them a Bible and ask them if we could read scripture together, and they won't even open it.
Yeah.
And say no already.
That's the beginning of the damnation, because the reason they won't open is because they know they're wrong.
Uh-huh.
And I can say that there, you know, here recently, somebody has gone off the deep end, and for a long time they never came to me and talked about these things because they knew I would tell them what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And not naming names, but it's sad.
Yeah.
And what is that damnation then? It's not talking about you losing your salvation. It's your conscience and the Holy Spirit convicting you, and it's the consequences. How many people have ruined their lives like that? Ruined their lives.
Yeah.
I'm just looking around. I know everybody here, we've had conversations about people that you love who have done that.
Yep.
It's just a sad thing. So there in verse 3, read that with me. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. We know this is talking about rulers who are in God's will, ruling with righteousness. Jenny, what's the passage we just quoted about when the righteous rule in Proverbs? And when
29:2.
Go ahead and read it.
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn.
Yep. Sound familiar?
Yep.
Well,
Proverbs 29:2.
Okay.
And you know, you think about those poor Chinese people and those poor Saudi Arabian people. Well, now we're starting to think about the poor American people.
Yeah.
And when the wicked rule, we're looking at gasoline prices going through the roof, which means everything you buy that has to be transported is going to go through the roof. And we've been trying more and more to buy local. and buy from, and we happen to live where there's some good Amish places, which makes it nice. And more and more of us are going to have to go to thrift stores.
Yeah.
And places like that. And then there'll be times where you're not going to be able to find what you want, or you're not going to be able to afford what you want. And sometimes it's a want, sometimes it's even a need. Uh-huh. You're going to have trouble getting. So what do?
Right.
Pray and trust the Lord. And then also don't blame him because it's not his fault.
Amen.
Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. And we know that's talking about when these rulers fear God. That's why every time the communists take over, it's terrible.
Yeah.
In China and Russia and Cuba and other places. It's why? Because they're not ruling with the fear of God. And even when there's a monarchy, when we've had kings that do fear God, they weren't perfect. Like even King David, man after God's own heart, wasn't perfect. But there were some kings that were very good to the people, and they have a memory. The memory that people have of them is one of honor. But we've had some dictators in human history that we know of, and it's never really been good. And most of the time it ends up being terrible because they're human. They have that depraved nature. The power goes to their head. They think they know they can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. There's coming a day when we're going to have a dictator.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be God.
Amen.
On earth, ruling and reigning. What a day that'll be.
Amen.
But until then, you don't want a human dictator.
Amen.
Always goes bad. So he asked the question, wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise the same. I believe right now, in most cases, probably 99 out of 100, if you will do what's right, obeying the law, everything will be fine. Now, there are those exceptions, but and in our system, obeying the law, you'll be fine. Now, in China, I just use them again. There's these people called the Uyghurs who are Muslim. We don't support their religion, but we do support their freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. They've chosen that way. But sadly, the communist government sees them as a threat and has been rounding them up and putting them into concentration camps. And I don't want to get too graphic, but I don't think this is saying too much to say that they are harvesting organs.
Wow.
And it's proof of it. Epoch News, or Epic News, or I think it's called Epic Times, is run by a what we would consider a cult. They have also suffered in China as the same, and that's part of their agenda at the Epoch News, is to get this information out to people. Our news media has reported some on it, but they kind of cover up the worst of it. But generally speaking, when a ruler fears God, and in our case, God has blessed us with a very biblical, Bible-based at least, constitution. And so if we do that which is good, we'll have praise of the same, meaning the government will look at us and recognize we're the best citizens they've got. Why? Because we're not doing drugs and we're not selling drugs. We're not raping. We're not murdering. We don't have a mob. You know, we don't have the Baptist mob, you know, and all that. You know? And it used to be... it used to be that that's how our government looked at us. We haven't changed. The government has. The people in government have changed.
Yep.
You remember a few years ago, we had a video of their training FBI agents and basically calling Bible-believing fundamentalists terrorists. Why? Just make stuff up. And they claim there have been a couple of abortion clinic bombings through the years. They weren't Bible-believing Christians. There was one kid that I know of who was very misguided, who blew up a clinic when it was empty. And his church came out and immediately said, this is wrong. We condemn what he did. We love him. We're going to try to continue to minister to him. But he's just got off somewhere. And But there's other examples where they call them Christians. I can't remember that. I think his name was Rudolph. Eric Rudolph, for some reason, coming down in the Carolinas, and they called him a Christian terrorist. He was a nihilist. He rejected the deity of Christ, didn't even believe in God. But that's what the news media painted it up.
Right.
And they've been doing that more and more to us. But that's the way it ought to be. If we're doing the same, we're doing good, we shouldn't have praise of the same. Why? Read verse 4 with me. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth good. I'm sitting here thinking about, I said the wrong word because I was thinking of a conversation I had when I was working in the Lucasville Penitentiary. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I used to do prison ministry, but I actually worked in a prison for a few months. And it's funny because these guys, not many of them were Christians, but I'd walk up and I said, you got quite a ministry here. And I knew a few cops, you know, and I'd tell them the same thing. I said, it's quite a ministry you got there. They looked at me like, what are you talking about? Ministry? And it either quoted or I'd open my Bible and show. If you are serving in government to keep law and order in line with what we're talking about, you're a minister.
Amen.
Now, the reality is actually anybody doing any job for the glory of God, working as unto the Lord, that's a ministry.
Yeah.
You may not understand it, but if you're mopping and you're doing the best job you can, and you're working as unto the Lord, and everybody sees that, that's a ministry. And there's many other examples I give of that, but that cop, unless he, and there's once in a while there's a bad apple, but that cop or that fireman or that patrolman or that Marine or that Army Ranger or you name it, if they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, they are a minister of God.
Amen.
According to that verse right there.
Amen.
And so what's that mean? Well, it's kind of like with God. If you do that which is evil, you think God's going to put up with it? You say, I'm a saved, I'm a child of the King. Yeah, and he's going to whoop you. You get out of his will, you start doing evil, God is going to come down on you. Because he loves you too much to let you get by with it.
Amen.
I can't always say this, but in the little group of kids we got right here, their parents love them. I know it. I see it. But I'll tell you what, one of them start to get out of line, things change.
Yeah.
Mama and Papa come down on them. Why? Because they love them too much to just let them get by with that, because it'll sin just begets sin, festers. And so that's what's wrong with so many of the kids today. They don't have that at home. And because they don't have it at home, they don't think the government should be like that. And everybody says, my rights, that's not fair. You know, that kind of thing. Well, I was raised to believe, number one, life ain't always fair. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah,
amen. I looked in the Bible. I can't find that verse. Life shall be fair.
Fair. Today's circus tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll wrap it up there just by saying that the minister of God, working on God's behalf in the government, beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God. It says it twice in that verse. He is the minister of God. He is the minister of God. And this is the hard part. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And we don't have time to talk about it, but I don't care what color, white, black, brown, blue, whatever. If that person resists that arrest or resists the police or somehow attacks the police, and especially with a weapon, and they get shot, they deserved it.
Amen.
And our country's been tore up by all but one or two instances. There's a couple where there was a claim to be made, but a bunch of these instances were not uncalled for. They were exactly what should happen. So let's close the word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And thank you for the safety everyone has enjoyed coming in. And if there's anybody else on their way in, Lord, you'll have traveling mercies on them, and prepare our hearts for our Bible study upcoming. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, I'm going to see you in a bit.